We'll also be looking at Belgic Confession, Article 20, in just a moment, but first let's read from Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, starting at verse 20. Starting at verse 24. Romans 3, starting at verse 24. Actually, let's start at verse 23 there. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And it's particularly verse 26, is this one phrase that's going to be our text, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So how can God be just and justify us? That's what we're going to be considering today. Then if you'd like to read along with me in the Belgic Confession, this is page 862 in the back of our songbooks. Page 862, Belgic Confession, Article 20, the justice and mercy of God in Christ. Belgic Confession, Article 20, we believe that God, who is perfectly merciful and also very just, sent his Son to assume the nature in which the disobedience had been committed in order to bear in it the punishment of sin by his most bitter passion and death. So God made known his justice toward his Son, who was charged with our sin, and he poured out his goodness and mercy on us, who are guilty and worthy of damnation, giving to us his Son to die by a most perfect love, and raising him to life for our justification, in order that by him we might have immortality and eternal life. That's as far as reading in the Belgic Confession. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, is God merciful or is God just? When you consider these attributes of God, is it true that he is at times merciful and at other times just? When we think of the justice of God and the mercy of God, we tend to contrast these. For example, in the criminal justice system, someone who has been convicted of a crime, they will either receive justice or they will receive mercy. If a criminal is convicted in justice, they will be sent to prison. They'll be incarcerated. But if a convicted criminal receives mercy, they will be pardoned and set free. But when it comes to the character of God, we must remember that God is not sometimes merciful and sometimes just. He is not partly merciful and partly just. He is perfectly just and perfectly merciful at all times. And because God is a just God, sin committed against his holy character must be dealt with. To say this another way, God cannot simply sweep our sins under a rug and pretend that they do not exist. So God is just and he must be just, but he is also a merciful God, a gracious God, a loving God who pardons those who are guilty. So this morning we are going to consider Belgic Confession, Article 20, focusing on these two attributes of God, his justice and his mercy, and we see how these two combine together and are clearly displayed as Jesus Christ is nailed to the cross. We're going to look at this theme. The sending of Jesus Christ proves and satisfies. So the sending of Jesus Christ proves and satisfies both the justice and the mercy of God. Now, as Christians, we long for justice. When we watch the evening news, Our hearts are grieved as we see the injustice all around us. It's like with that Right to Life walk this upcoming week. It's a motivation from a Christian heart. We see injustice being done and it grieves us. We want to see the wicked and the rebellious in our society dealt with. Those who are murderers, those who are thieves, those illegal acts, we want to see them stop, and we want to see those perpetrators brought to justice. So we all have this desire for justice which flows from within us. That is, until we are the guilty ones. Which one of us here, when we are pulled over by the police officer, knowing that we have been speeding, will say to them, "You know what, officer, you are right. I was going 15 mile an hour over the speed limit. I want you to give me a ticket because I am guilty." That is not how we act. We want justice until we are the criminal. Well, today we are going to see that in God's mercy, both justice and mercy come together for our good. In our first point, then, we're going to be looking at the justice of God. We're going to start with an illustration. What would it be like if God was not just? Well, if God was not a just God, he would simply wink at sin or ignore sin. If God was not a just God, he would be like a doting grandfather who ignores it. Who ignores not only sin, the rebellion of his own grandchildren, but ignores the consequence of it. But would we really want to worship a God who doesn't take sin seriously? Would we be compelled to worship God if he wasn't holy? Would we be motivated with reverence and awe if God did not have an anger, a just wrath, when the masses are slain as sheep to the slaughter? Would this be the kind of God that would motivate you to worship him? Would you want to sing praise to someone who was not just? Surely not. In our hearts, we cry out with Abraham, "Will not the judge of the earth do what is right? Surely he will." If God would be God, he must be just. We would not want to serve the gods of the Romans, who were just as fickle and immoral as human beings. So God, if he is God, must be just. And his justice shines through in the work of salvation. But to be clear here, when we look at the justice of God, particularly in this article, we are not considering the justice of God in pouring out of wrath on the reprobate. We are not looking at how God justly condemns wicked rebels who refuse to believe. We are not looking at the justice of God in pouring out his wrath on the devil or rebellious angels. That's not our focus today. Rather, today we see the justice of God in his work in saving fallen sinners. So how can God, who is just, who is a holy God, who is a consuming fire, who is blinding light, that sin, wickedness, darkness, shadow, death cannot stand in his presence? How can God, who is holy and just and righteous, have a man who is fallen and sinful dwell in his presence? How can a holy God pardon wicked sinners? How is God's justice upheld when he adopts, when he pardons, when he justifies those who are by nature children of wrath? The answer, brothers and sisters, is found in the substitutionary atonement. Now don't be afraid of that big word, substitutionary atonement. Someone takes your place, substitute. An atonement, payment is made. God is and remains just because he provides a substitute who purchases those who are sinners. Remember when God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, he promised that when someone rebelled against him, when someone ate the forbidden fruit, that death would enter this creation, that those who eat of that fruit shall surely die. Sin entered the world. We saw this in Romans 7. Sin entered the world through one man, and through that one man, sin spreads to all. Therefore, death spreads to all. But Christ, as the last Adam, as the perfect man, is able to change the equation. By his perfect righteousness, life is gained. So although we by nature are children of wrath and deserve to be condemned, God in his mercy provides a substitute so that his justice is upheld. Jesus takes our place on death row. To say this another way, the salvation of fallen man does not offend God's justice, but rather upholds God's justice because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ satisfies the wrath of God by becoming a curse for us and dying in our place. Because God is just, he cannot simply take our sins and lift up the corner of the rug and sweep our sins under it. Wrath, the prophets talk illustrated as in wrath as a cup filled with wine. God's wrath is like this cup filled with wine, and Jesus Christ takes that cup of God's wrath and drinks it down to the last drop. What God has done is he's taken our sins, the dirt of our sins, and placed them on Jesus Christ so that as he shed his blood, our sins are washed away. The curse and guilt is dealt with. We read this in Romans 8, verse 3. Jesus was sent to do what we could not do. Our flesh was weakened by sin. We were unable. We didn't have the ability to fulfill the law. So God, in his justice, sends Jesus Christ to do for us what we could not do. Jesus is identified as a sin offering. In order for us to avoid the consequences of our own sin, someone has to make amends. Someone has to satisfy God's justice. Someone has to pay our debt. And again in Romans 3, we read that Jesus was put forth as a propitiation. Now, you might not be familiar with this word. Propitiation simply means satisfaction of God's justice and, more specifically, his wrath. That God's wrath is satisfied. That the heat of God's anger, the fire of the flames of his anger and wrath burn completely. The Father satisfies his own justice by sending Jesus Christ to fulfill the requirements of the law so that when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he meant he had finished drinking that cup. He had done what was necessary so that God's justice would be satisfied. So to summarize our point, we read this in Romans 3, verse 26. God is just. God is just. He is a just God. He shows himself as a just God in sending his son Jesus so that we can be forgiven and his justice is upheld. Or Lord's Day 4 in the Catechism, maybe you've memorized this. His justice demands, God's justice demands, that sin committed against his supreme majesty be punished with the supreme penalty, the eternal punishment of body and soul. That is what Jesus Christ took on, eternal punishment, being forsaken by the Father. But God is not only a just God, he is also a merciful God. Back in our text from Romans 3, he is just and the justifier. He's the just God and he's the justifying God. Not only has he seen to it that his justice be satisfied, he provides the one so that satisfaction might be made. So God is just in that someone is provided, and he is justifying in that he's the one who provides the satisfaction. Do you see the beauty of the gospel? Is that because God is just, someone must take our place. And because God is merciful, he himself provides the one who takes our place. Where God's justice describes the reason why Jesus had to come, God's mercy describes the motivation for why Jesus would come and die in our place. Romans 8, verse 3, by nature we were powerless. Our flesh was weakened in our sins. We can't save ourselves, and God knows this. We are incapable of keeping, of satisfying, of taking God's wrath upon ourselves. And that's, brothers and sisters, is why eternity in hell is eternal. It's because you never come to the point of suffering when you can say it is finished. And that's why suffering in hell goes on year after year after year after eternity, ages after ages. You never come to the end of God's wrath because you, as a finite creature, are incapable of drinking the cup of God's infinite wrath. But what we could not do, Jesus Christ mercifully does for us. So that God is just and the justifying God. Justification. Children, what is justification? Justification is how we are made right with God. We talk about double imputation. My sin, my debt, taken from me, credited, put on Jesus' account. His righteousness, his holiness, his perfect nature, blessings, those are taken from Christ and credited to my account. Double imputation. Justification describes the transfer of debt, the satisfaction of justice. And again, John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. So we are the objects of God's love, the recipients of his mercy. We are the ones that benefit from his grace. Mercy is, by its definition, undeserved. We are justified by his grace. Ephesians 2 puts it like this: for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's not your works, it is a gift of God. So God's mercy, it's undeserved. You don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, but it is also sufficient. Everything that is necessary for you to be pardoned has been provided by Jesus Christ. There is nothing more that you and I can or could add to a sacrifice that is of infinite worth and value. And that's what Jesus Christ provided. We are not only now made savable, we are fully saved, fully ransomed, fully pardoned. God's anger is turned away. When God looks at you, he does not look at you in wrath. He looks at you with love, tender compassion. He is not looking, he's not waiting for you to provide something else, to do something else. You are welcomed and embraced as a loving child, as a loved child. So as our Belgic Confession article summarizes, God made known his justice towards his Son, and he poured out his goodness and mercy on us. Some of you, as we come to our last point, looking at the blessings that we receive, some of you might remember a book that was released a few years ago. It's called The Love Wins by the author Rob Bells. The point of this book, Love Wins, is that because God is love, he would never send someone to hell. That's basically what the book premise is. If God is a loving God, his love cancels his justice. Right? God would never send someone to hell because he is a loving God. But love does not cancel justice. God's love and justice are not opposed to each other. It is not as if God's love cancels his justice. Rather, God's love works within the realms and fulfills his justice. The justice of God and the mercy of God are two sides of the same coin. As our article concludes, the benefit that we receive because God is both just and merciful is this: we have justification, we have immortality, and eternal life. We are not only spared from the wrath that we deserve, we're not only spared from eternity in hell, we are graciously granted immortality and eternal life in our heavenly home of blessings that are greater than any mind can comprehend. Romans 3, justified by his grace, given life, pardoned, ransomed, received, adopted, made children, heirs to eternal life. This is what we have in him. Remember that to be justified means not only are we forgiven, that's not just the removal of condemnation, it is also being accepted, the recipients of eternal blessing. Sometimes when we think about justification, we think it's the removal of my sin and stain and guilt. That's true, that's the first half of the equation, but the second half of the equation cannot be forgotten. It's not just the removal of the negative. We're not just made blank slates. It's the addition of the positive. My sins to Christ, yes, but his righteousness to me. So that now I have the blessings of life and life everlasting. The rights and privileges of the only begotten Son are now ours. Once Jesus had been sent, God remains just. And his justice means that those who are pardoned cannot be condemned. In fact, it would be unjust of God to pardon to condemn those who have been pardoned. Perhaps you've been to Walmart and you have to do that self-checkout. Sometimes you're scanning things and you accidentally scan things twice and you don't notice it until you walk out the door and say, like, "Oh man, I was double charged. I had to pay twice for one object. That's unjust." Well, I can tell you with all confidence, God is not unjust and he is not going to double charge for your sins. Right? Once your sins are paid for by Jesus Christ, he is not going to charge you for what Jesus has already paid for. God is just. And in his justice, once his wrath has been satisfied, no more payment is necessary. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we might be called children of God. The fact is, you do not receive what you deserve, but you do receive what you could never earn. This is the good news of the gospel. To conclude, today we've seen God's mercy and his justice are not only compatible, but they are necessary aspects of God's character and work. God's justice and mercy is what guides us to worship properly. When we come and we worship with fear, reverence, and awe, we are acknowledging God is just, he is holy, he is righteous. So our worship, fear, reverence, and awe. But we also come with joy and thanksgiving because he is merciful. If you have one without the other, that's not true worship. Fear, reverence, and awe, yes. Joy, thanksgiving, gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. Because he is just and he is merciful. So how can God be just and the one who justified? Only by way of Jesus Christ as our substitutionary atonement. In this article, the incarnation is linked to our atonement. Why did Jesus take on our flesh? So he could become a man and die in our place. Man sinned, man had to pay for sins. Justice and mercy kiss at the cross. As our theme states, the sending of Jesus proves and satisfies the justice and mercy of God. Praise God that he remains just and the justifier of sinful men. Amen.